I was on the phone with Pastor Mati today, and he said the world is, in my words, we talked a little bit about the world, upside down, a mess. He said, if we expect people to watch the movies out of Hollywood, play video games, go to the, exercise, and just be entertained, then we would expect the world to be a mess, for people to be messed up. What do they think? What are they believing? And I've said it's amazing that we have, and he said this, that we have a church. We have a church. So I want to share a little bit about that tonight and turn to Ephesians 4 to see the text. It's from verse 15, Ephesians 4. Actually, start from 14, it goes to 18. So verse 4, chapter 4, verse 14. I'm so encouraged. Also, I wanted to say to the body, thank you for being such an active group of people serving. We had an outdoor movie with about 200 people. Paul's teriyaki wagon pulled up and sold out. And, we have a women's seminar coming up. The pastor's retreat was awesome. People delivering food, making phone calls, counseling people. All of this happening. It's amazing. Look at verse 14. That we would be no more children tossed to and fro, like children bumping along in a car or a wagon, tossed, children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the craftiness of men, the deceit of men, the lies we would be tossed about by men lying to us, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, how will I get out of this if I'm in a world where there's all kinds of promoting dishonesty and sexual lifestyle, and how do I live then in this world? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, and we're going to share tonight on that, growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Long growth, growing up, long, like slow, the way we grow physically. Maybe slow, but boy, after the summer, it looks like you grew 4 inches in height, you say to a teenager. And to an adult, it looks like you grew 4 inches in your width, you say to an adult. So verse 15. But we growing up in his headship, with truth enlightening us. Wow, that's amazing. Is it happening? Ask your neighbor, is it happening? Okay. Hey, quiet down to listen to me. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Yeah, we are a body, and we're joined, our parts, and compacted that by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There is really an increase in you and me. There is a very real increase in us. So we have a political situation in our country where we see ungodliness and thoughts and action and words and mentality that we are shocked. We are shocked that this is so popular and so much part of the way of thinking. We are shocked by it. Why? Because we are growing up in Him. There's a difference between us and what the spirit of the world is saying. It's shocking. It's amazing. But it's okay, because this one is satisfying. This one satisfies. The other one doesn't. We'll see that a little bit later tonight. This one is satisfying. Yeah, we are increasing in parts, and there's a body life and an increase in the heart. So then he says, 17, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk." What does that mean? Others live this way, but you don't live that way. You others live this way, but you have found another way. You have found the anointing of God. We don't walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. It means the empty mind, or the mind that does not have a solid purpose. It's temporal. It's from one event to another, from one scandal to another, from one event to another one. But we have found the mind of God, the meditation in God, the subconscious mind in Christ, where we talk quietly. We get quiet before God at the beginning of our day. You get real quiet before God, real quiet, and then you start to think, what am I here for? And humble before God and ask God, and you think about what I want. What's God saying? What is He doing? And this is in my conscious mind, but it goes into my subconscious mind. That affects my life. What do I want? What am I looking for? Who is God? What does He say to me? What does it mean? Is this real? Is it true? Is this God's world, the reality of God? It's amazing. But the Gentiles don't have that mind. Yeah, we'll see that. We'll see that in a few minutes. I'll show you. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. So their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So that'll be a great message tonight. I believe that it'll speak to our hearts and build us up. We're going to walk out of here tonight saying, I got a message tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you gave a message to the church. I got something I can keep. I got something that I can think about. And you did that. Thank you, God, you did that. Because this is your plan. And what if across America there were churches like this feeding on the Lamb of God? How does it affect my work, my relationships? How does it affect my life? It's awesome. Okay, welcome Pastor Ben on the video. Let's give him a hand.
Happy Feast of Tabernacles. The elements I have in my hand, these are always used in waving the wave offerings in the Feast of the Tabernacles. These are the elements of the Sukkah. This year, Tabernacles is different than any other year that we've ever seen in our lives here. Normally, tourists are flowing in by big numbers. Believers are coming to celebrate the Lord, to support Israel, to pray. This year, we're in a lockdown. And we have even an extra lockdown, so we're not able to function regularly. But our spirits are high. Pray for the revival in our country. Please pray that the corona numbers will come crashing down. And thank you for standing with us. As you stand for Israel, you're standing for the whole church at the same time. We love every one of you. Happy feast in the Lord. He is our feast.
Shalom. Amen. Shalom from Jerusalem. Bye.
Before we do the message, just stand up with me, please. And just kind of get excited in your heart and say, I got a good attitude tonight. I praise the Lord. I even love the person standing next to me and behind me. And I'm going to pour love on them. I'm going to love them up. Go ahead. Do it. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Okay, you may be seated. A couple warm-up verses. Luke chapter 10. How privileged the disciples were to hear this prayer of Jesus in verse 21. Luke 10, 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. By the way, in the New Testament, there are very few places where you read, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I might be wrong, but this might be the only place, you know, where it is written like this. He was so thankful. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. From the smart guys. The wives, the big guys, the guys in charge. You hid them from the guys that got all the money, all the power. They got the education. They got everything. They got it all going. They're smart. They build cities and bridges and make wars and conquer and the whole thing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You revealed them unto babes. So congratulate yourself for a moment. I'm included in there. Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, and all things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 23, and he turned him unto his disciples, said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see. And I don't know about you, but that happens to us at different times. We are shocked. We are amazed at what we see. We see it. Maybe in an hour's time, maybe in a month, maybe in some years, maybe in a few minutes, but you see it. And to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them, many people would love to be sitting where you are sitting. Many people would like to be like you. Many people would like to live without any with freedom, without any addiction. They would love to. You have no addiction. You're not addicted to any. They would love to be different. Where can they find it? What can they do to get it? Now turn to Jeremiah 13, please, verse 22. If you say in your heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of your iniquity are your skirts discovered and your heels made bare. 13:22. I'm kind of reading a little bit fast, but for that's actually average for me. When I read fast, that's the normal. Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can somebody who has an addiction change? Can somebody who's in a bondage to a sin pattern? Can somebody who has like bad habits, can they change those habits? Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You cannot do good. You're accustomed to evil. You have evil patterns of thought. You cannot change. You're the same all the time. You make promises, but you can't do it. Verse 24. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, saith the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You have forgotten me. I wonder, in the age that we're living in, if we shouldn't be preaching more about hell and more about God and judgment, and we should be preaching more about the day that is coming when you have to stand before Almighty God. Wow. But I have a bad habit. I cannot change. This is the way I am. I know no other way. I don't have any religion. I don't believe in anything. I don't go to any church. I don't have any of that in my life. I just have lived this way. I grew up this way, and this is the way I am all the time. And the Lord is saying, then you're going to have verse 26. Therefore will I discover your skirts upon your face. Like, that's shameful for a woman to lift the skirt up and put it over her face. Like, that's what God says to Israel. I'm going to lift your skirt up and put it over your face and shame you. I'm going to shame you. Look at verse 26. That thy shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries, your neighings, the lewdness of your whoredom, your abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto you, O Jerusalem, wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? When shall it once be? Okay. Listen. I want to have a lot of compassion for people who cannot change. I want to understand them. I want to think about them. I want to love them in my heart. They cannot change. They don't even know what it is. They don't even know what they want. They don't even know what they're looking for. But do you? Have you found Jesus? Have you found Jesus where Jesus could say, thank you, Father, that you've revealed it to him? Eyes have wanted to see it. Ears have wanted to hear it, but they can't. But this man has heard it and seen it, and he got it. He got the Holy Spirit. He got a word in season. He walks by faith. He's got wisdom. He's got a new heart. He's got something going on in his life. Thank you, God. And the believer is saying, thank you, God. What about the others? So turn to Jeremiah 17. This is also just a quick look at two verses. Verse 5, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Verse 5, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So here's a picture that we draw in our Bible psychology class. It's a heart with a hole in it, like this. And then there's a new heart that I draw like this. So, cursed is the man. This is the curse is on this man that is has a sin nature. This is the old sin nature. Yeah, and he has something missing in his heart. Yeah, and because something's missing in his heart, then he lies. He lies because he's hurting. There's something missing. And he lives this way. He has something missing in his heart, so he wants to have a girlfriend. So he gets a girlfriend. But still, there's something missing in his heart. He wears the girl out. After 3 months, she realizes he's so selfish that there's nothing in his heart except him. It's just about him. What he wants from me, I'm to be his little runaround. He doesn't love me. He wants to control me. So that man has a problem in his relationships because there's something missing deep inside. It's a curse that's on his life. And I want to say something about it. So we have little particles that kind of are floating around in life like this that we grab to fit in the heart. Little, the girlfriend, the search for people that care about me, the gambling addiction, the buzz that I get from gambling, and I win and then I lose and I win and I get happy about it, and I'm searching. I'm vain. I'm looking. I can't find it. And there's a story in the Bible, there's many of them, but one that we taught on Monday night that got our attention. And I want to share that with you tonight, which is the core of what we want to say. So, Jeremiah 17:5, and this is Jeremiah 17:8. This man is blessed on this side of the picture. Okay, turn now to the story, 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. So this is a story about two women. And in a way, I want to use the diagram up on the wall here as the principle. And I want to use these two women, and show you something. They both had babies. They were both prostitutes. They both gave birth to babies. One is 3 days older than the other one. One of the women rolls on the baby in the night. The baby dies in the night. Woman wakes up in the morning, sees her dead baby, and that's tragic. I have a dead baby. I rolled on the baby in the night. I made a mistake. I can't face this. This is not good. This is bad. This is impossible. I cannot face the shame. I killed my baby. I can't face this. Right there, she could have said before God, I made a mistake. I messed up. I ruined. I killed my baby. There, it could have ended right there with a confession. But the heart here up on the wall is a heart that has a hard time finding God. That heart doesn't know God. It's cursed because it trusts in men. it trusts in myself. And the prostitute had the idea, because your heart affects your mind. What is going on in your heart will direct your mind. And you will say in your mind, I got an idea. I'll switch the babies. That's a good idea. That'll work. But actually, if you're a mother, it's actually a stupid idea. Because don't you think that that mother will know? But isn't that the point of the trouble we have in this world? That people are stupid. Why are they stupid? Because their hearts have a hole in them. Jesus said, thank you, Father. You have shown this to them. That's the key. They got it. They got it. Thank you, Father. It'll change history. Because if they get a new heart and they see and understand things that the world doesn't see, they don't see it. Their world will be messed up. And they will not have what it is that we have. And this is a sequence of the problem. She goes, I got an idea. You see, I'm embarrassed. I rolled on my baby. I love my baby. I'm embarrassed. I've lost my baby. That's not right. I will steal from her. Why would you steal from her? Because I can't handle what happened. I got to blame somebody. I got to fight with somebody. I got to steal with somebody. I got to lie to somebody. There you go. So, what happened? Verse 19. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me. You took my son from me. Is your heart hard? Is your heart cold? What are you doing? You took my son from me, my newborn son, because of your problem. Because you can't face your problem with truth. So your trouble comes to me. That's what's going on in this world. When we are sinners, we steal, we cheat, we lie, we take, we blame, we accuse. But when you become a saint, you're different. Enjoy the difference. Enjoy the blessing. Enjoy the increase. Enjoy the wisdom. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the reality of God in your life. The greatest blessing in our lives is that we have the reality of God in our lives. That's amazing. If I overlaid the baby in the night and he suffocated and died, I would wake up with a lot of sorrow. But I would know who to go to. And so would you. That we would say God is an ever-present help in every time of need. That God is the answer for my sorrow and my pain and my shame and my sin and my guilt. That God is the answer. You know that. Because you're growing and increasing while the world is being deceived and being shamed. They are. Watch the story goes like this. Verse 20. She arose at midnight. These two women are in front of King Solomon. King Solomon is showing his wisdom in the story. And King Solomon is going to make a judgment as to who the mother is. And so the woman is explaining the story. She said, she arose at midnight, took my son from beside me while your handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. The lie works for a short time. It says that in Proverbs. The lie of the hypocrite is for a moment. Winston Churchill said, a lie goes around the world while the truth is putting its boots on. It's coming. It's coming. Could I say to somebody who's contemplating suicide that you are a fool? That you are a fool, that you are a fool. And you might say, the Ethiopian can't change his skin, nor the leopard his spots, and he cannot change his way. He is suicidal. I understand. And with a lot of compassion, with a lot of reality behind us, we say, God loves you. God cares for you. God forgives you. There's a better way. There's the only way. You might end up in hell. You might say, I commit suicide to get out of my pain. It might be your pain is so that you can turn to God and you can find God. You might end up in hell if you commit suicide. That is stupid. But we all know the Spirit of God in us and with us cares about people, so that's true. But at the same time, I'm angry about that whole thing and about what I'm saying here tonight. Regarding this thing, and hope it comes out good. Well, let's look at it for a minute. It says, the other woman said, verse 22, no, but the living is my son. Lying, but the living is my son, and the dead is your son. And she said, no. The dead is your son, the living is my son. And so they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. The other saith, no, but your son is the dead, my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other. Well, to a normal person, that would mean you cut the child in half, nobody gets a child. They vote the child is dead. But because of this heart and the blindness of this heart here, she says, yes, do that. Do that. Cut the child in half. What? Cut the child in half. That's called blindness. That's what we're looking at. There's blindness in this world. That's called hard-hearted blindness. You've lost your mind. You've lost your way. You don't understand. May we say this about all sin? If you commit adultery, it's a similar thing. Ask King David and the hard heart. And David is trying to figure it out. And what does he come up with? Call Uriah from the battlefield. That doesn't work. What do I do? Kill. He's killed in battle. David, a mighty man. What happened? You're blind. You've lost your mind. Your best friend is killed. And how did the blindness happen? Where did the blindness come from? It came from my heart. I can make excuses for everything. I can find a church where the homosexuality is rampant. I find a church, I can go there because the heart of man will rationalize and devise and think in terms whatever it is that he wants to hear. 2 Timothy 4, 2 to 4. You know that. But the point of this story is, when sensible people like Solomon is provoking and testing what's behind this, and he finds out, then he knows. And he goes, this child belongs to that woman. Because I know the sound of love. She said, give her the child. The child must live. Give her the child. Oh, you are the mother. That's love. I found love. I found love. I found Christ. I found God. I found the answer. I found Christ. I found love. I found faith. I found the Holy Spirit. I found the ministry. I found truth. I found freedom. I found Jesus Christ. I found the answer. Don't you think that the people that cannot change, but they go on and on, don't you think they want to meet people like us who are not perfect in any way? And it's not us, I'm not saying that, but it does say in Ephesians 4, we are increasing. We are increasing, and it says, don't walk like the Gentiles who are vain in their minds, and their evil heart is blind, and their hearts are hard. Don't live like them, but be broken, gentle, loving, meditative, embracing, enjoying, worshiping, praying, believing, loving, serving, giving. Be spirit-filled people. When we have our troubles, when we lay on the baby, so to speak, and we lose something precious because that's how life goes, Jesus said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And God has ordained for you and I to increase, an increase in the wisdom. And we'll watch how we get the baby, you know, like we get it. Wow, that was a crazy trial. And I'm sorry for that woman. But what if she goes on in her empty heart and her sorrow and shame and being defeated, and the judgment comes? When the judgment comes and I realize, oh my, they caught me. May I humble myself under the mighty hand of God and realize that Jesus came for me to save me and change me and give to me and help me. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? These are thoughts to meditate on tonight and realize we love people. We do. We love people. We are the ones that are able to love people that are different from us and understand them a little bit and say to them, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come to Him as you are. He forgives you. But if you go on in your own ways, your habits of, you might say, how do I change a bad habit? You will. God will teach you. God is your teacher. You will change. You can change. It happens. The Ethiopian, in himself, he cannot. And the leopard, in himself, he cannot. But that's why Jesus came. Father, thank you for this. And we rejoice tonight in it very much. Thank you, Jesus, for this understanding and our meditation and our fellowship in Jesus' name. Anyone listening to me who's not coming to Jesus, you've heard the Bible. You've heard the Bible say you must be born again. You must have Jesus in your heart. and walk by faith in him. And keep coming and listening and grow and believe. And God is going to take care of you, fill you, satisfy you, and teach you. And anyone at all, raise your hand in the auditorium who's asking Jesus into your heart tonight. Anyone at all, anyone at all. Yes to Jesus. Anyone. Anybody. Amen. Let's see. Great. Praise the Lord.